Heavenly Father, we know as we gather together this morning, because of your word and because of the salvation you have granted to us, that we are a family. For those of us who believe in Christ, who follow Christ, that you have adopted us into your family, that you call us sons, and we are your children, and we call you Father. Lord, on this Sunday, where we emphasize ministering to orphans, adopting and foster care, and all the different forms that is, Lord, I pray that you would be with us. Lord, work in our hearts, work in our lives. May your word transform us today. Lord, may we leave here changed by the truth of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't really like kids that much. Those were, I'm ashamed to say, my words not too long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago. I was the kind of guy who, I served in the childcare on Sunday mornings. But when I woke up on Sunday morning, I'm like, oh, it's childcare today. That was me. I always viewed kids as, yeah, they're great, of course. You know, we want to end abortion. That's true and good. We want to have children. But in my heart, I always viewed them as just kind of like, you know, you have kids? Great. You know, just keep them over there. You know, I'm trying to do stuff. You know, I tried to keep them at a distance. It was a slow process, but through hearing the truth of the Word of God and how God views children throughout Scripture, you cannot deny that God loves children and that Jesus loves children. In fact, you have multiple accounts in the Gospels of Jesus saying, like Rick was saying, let the children come. There's one particular account in Matthew that I love. He's doing all these miracles. And who is Jesus hanging out with? He's hanging out with the rejected, the marginalized, the lame, the sick, the kids. And he's on his way to do something, and people start bringing him their children. And the disciples are like rebuking, like, hey, get away. You know, this is, you know who this is? This is Jesus, right? And Jesus rebukes his disciples and says, let the children come to me, right? He's got all the elite of the world around him, questioning him, right? All around him. He could be dealing with them and only spending time with them, but he cast them aside in order to say, let the children come to me. And those truths, man, I hope they're echoing with you right now that God truly loves children. And in Lexington, that's before we started this plant, I was a member in Lexington at our campus there. And, you know, just like here, children are a big deal. And it was always preached that the devil hates children, which is true. We see that over and over again in the Bible, that the devil hates children, right? And that was preached over and over, and it was preached that God is great, he loves children, and over, my heart began to change only by a work of the Spirit, because, again, I was always like, hey, man, just keep them over here. You know, that's great. We have a lot. Look at our kids' ministry. It's huge. All right, I'm going to be over here with the adults, you know? That was me. But over time, my heart began to change. And it was only by the Spirit of God. It wasn't anything in me. So I remember one night, we were in our little townhouse in Lexington, and Jessie, my wife, she came up to me and she was like, hey, what do you think? You know, we had been trying to have kids for a while, hadn't had kids yet, biologically. And so she's like, what do you think about foster care? You know, I've just been thinking about that, been praying about that. It just seems like there's a big need. And I was like, you know, yeah, you know, that sounds good, but we should probably have our own first, you know, get our feet wet before we commit to something like that. And so that kind of ended. And over again, she would bring it to me, you know, strategically, you know, throughout, not over a period of day after day, but, you know, weeks. And then I remember one night, I'm like, okay, well, you know, let's look into it. And so we went to an informational meeting about foster care. And then that became, that night, we signed up to start our training. And then it was 10 weeks. And it was 3 hours a week, at different times during the week. So we would go, and I remember sitting in a room with lots of people. Over the period of a couple weeks, you see those people kind of get weeded out. They just kind of start leaving. But I remember one guy in there who, it was clear that his wife was really into foster care. Like, hey, we're totally in. Like, and he never talked. And I'm always like, that guy's getting drugged here. I know that. One day he talked. He spoke. And in this particular training, they were talking about, hey, you know, sometimes kids have to be removed in the middle of the night. You might get a call at 2 a.m. And we're only going to know the baby's race. We might not even know that. We don't know how old they are. And so they're making this worst case scenario of not knowing who this child is. We just know we got to find a placement for it. And the guy raised his hand, and he's like, yeah. And the guy was like, now hold on just a second. If I'm signing up for this, when I go to the pound to pick out a dog, I'm going to take my time. And I remember thinking, and the whole class thought it, and his wife was super embarrassed. We were all just like, I can't believe, this guy just said that? But the more I think about it, the more I thought about it over weeks and years, that's often my heart as well. We treat children as something to be put away, something that we get to pick out. I want to pick out a cute one for me, you know. But that's not the way that God views children. You know, I think Rick and Casey both, Pastor Casey both reminded us this morning that there are no natural born children in the family of God. None. If you are a believer in Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. God was not like, well, you know, he's addicted to that. I don't know. He doesn't look like he'd fit in there. You know, she's doing this. He's not doing that. He sets his love on people and adopts them as they are and then changes them to look more like his son. In Romans chapter 8, it's a hefty chapter. Paul is writing this letter, and he's reminding us of who we were, that we were sinners, and that we could do nothing on our own, that we sinned all the time, and that no one can come to Christ on their own, that we are all in this boat together. And he's been telling us and reminding us that we are children of the promise if we believe in Christ, that he saves us. And that just before Romans chapter 8, he's reminding us that we are freed from sin, that we don't stay where we are, but we have been freed from the slavery and shackles of sin and have new life in Christ. And when we get to chapter 8, it's just this beautiful picture of the gospel. Paul reminds us of what the gospel is and what has happened to us when we have believed in Christ, when Christ has saved us. And so when we get to chapter 8, verse 12, we come to this portion that paints a picture of the gospel. And there are many pictures of the gospel throughout the scriptures. One of them is marriage. Marriage is a wonderful picture of the gospel. But also when we get to hear in this part about adoption, we're reminded that we were adopted into God's family. And this morning, as we go through the scripture, I think we've all heard this before. We've all heard about adoption and orphan care. We've all heard that we are adopted into God's family, but I hope this morning that God's truth would reign in our hearts and his word would pierce our hearts, and that we would not just think about that abstractly and in our heads, but that we would live it, knowing that we were once orphans. So verse 12, we were once orphans. Read with me. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And what Paul is trying to remind us here is the mark of a believer is obedience to Christ. But in doing so, And what he's done the past few chapters is he's reminded us of our condition before Christ. And we would all, you know, agree, yeah, we were sinners. What did that look like, though? How were we sinners? We were enslaved to our sin. That's all we did. We sinned all the time. We followed our own desires. Whatever we wanted to do, we did it. Whatever I wanted to do, I did it. We lived without hope. We lived without any hope of salvation. We just lived how we wanted, not looking to Christ. In fact, rebelling against Christ. We put ourselves in this predicament by our own sin. And we became discontent. We were inward, self-reliant people, only relying on ourselves. And it's hard in this culture to be dependent on something because our culture screams at us, hey, you do you. Do what makes you feel good. You can't trust anybody. Just depend on yourself. We're selfish, discontent, self-reliant. We were out of Father. We had our heavenly fathers, or our earthly fathers, thankfully. Or not everybody, right? That's why we're here this morning. Right? We had that, but we were without our heavenly Father. And the Bible, you know, talks about being children of God in kind of two ways. It talks about us being children of God in the sense that He created us, and we live here, and we are thankful for that. That is common for everyone that's lived on this earth. He has created us. He causes us to breathe. Our hearts are pumping in our chest because He has created us and keeps us alive even until today. But what we're talking about when we're talking about in Romans chapter 8 being children of God is familial. It is more intense. The life, this all reminds me of the life of an orphan. I have not seen much. I've only seen a tad bit. Probably you all have seen more than I have. But our lives before we were with Christ or before we turned to Christ were much like an orphan's life. Dark, without hope, self-reliant, selfish, because that's all you have when you're abandoned. And there's all kinds of different causes for an orphan to become an orphan. Parents being on drugs or domestic abuse or sexual abuse or abuse against the children. Those are all realities for small children. And each of them, these little orphans, have gone through so much more than I have in my life. They've experienced in their 3, 4, 5, however old they are, years. You know, I think about, you know, we did a devotion not too long ago in our staff meeting, just thinking about God being our Father, and I want you to just picture this right now, if you can. Picture not having a father at all. And maybe some of you, that's not hard to picture. I don't know. Maybe some of you were orphans at one point. Maybe some of you didn't have a father in your life. In that case, picture not having a mother either. Picture not having a mother or a father in your life. You know, going to a football game, baseball game, they're not there. Help with homework, that's not happening either. All these situations in your life where your parents were there for, picture that not even being there. Now picture if you had a father, just I have no idea what this is even like, but picture having a father or a mother, but one who abuses you when they get angry, one who comes home drunk or high and takes it all out on you, one who abandons you and leaves you to take care of your siblings, ones who leave you in complete filth, ones who don't feed you. What does that create in a child? What we just talked about. Discontentment, self-reliant. One of the things that we learn in training when we're doing foster care, and I'm sure, you know, if you're doing adoption too, you've experienced this, is that when a child is not fed, You know, in the home they came from, their place in your home, you might find a stash of food under their bed. Because they're used to finding all the food that they can get and hoarding it because they're afraid. They don't know where their next meal's coming from. But you look at this life of this child, and it's similar to how we were without Christ, except we did it to ourselves because we rebelled against God. And we were only trying to do what we can do. Now, I know we don't need to get into this. You and I both know what happens when we try to do things ourselves, right? It's not good. It might work for a little while, but you come to your end of your rope and you cry out to God for help. And he's there to help us, right? But without Christ, it's hopeless. We were hopeless. But the good thing and the good news of Romans 8 is that the gospel changes all of that. The gospel changes all of it. Because we are now adopted. Look at verse 14 with me. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And what I want us to see here first is that the Spirit has caused us to be adopted into our family, or into God's family, right? When we are saved, here's what happened. God calls us, right? He regenerates us, meaning he takes our hearts of stone that have rejected him and rebelled against him, and he breaks that heart of stone and gives us a heart that can now respond to God. And then he justifies us in his sight. That means he's canceled our sin. All the sin that we had, all the sin in our lives has been forgiven. We have his righteousness. But that's not all. That's all great and good and necessary. But the Bible tells us here that he has adopted us. A spirit of adoption he has given us. And the Spirit has caused this. He talks about too, if you go down into verse 15, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And so you have these two different spirits. You have the spirit of fear, of slavery, and then you have this spirit of adoption. Because what the old man says before Christ, we have fear, we are in slavery, we can do nothing else. But when Christ has saved us, he has adopted us. Not too long ago, my wife was at where they test blood. I don't know what that's called, a clinic of some sort. You have to do that from time to time. Right now we have two foster children, and one of them had to be tested to determine paternity for one of the parents, which is fine. And so we went to this clinic, and when we got there, we're usually not met by anyone. You just go in, they take the blood, and then you leave. Well, we got there, and the whole family of this child was there. It's like 20 people there. It was very overwhelming and awkward as well because you're caring for a child, right, who's been neglected. And so the family was so excited, and this child was sick at the time. And so he was crying. He was a hot mess, and we were just trying to keep him calm. And they were trying to take his blood, and the family was just, like, passing him around. And, you know, one of them struck up a conversation with my wife, and she was like, the lady said to her, so are you a mom? And my wife said, yes, I'm a mom. She's like, but are you really a mom, though? And my wife's like, yeah, I'm really a mom. She's like, but this girl, you adopted this one though, right? I heard you adopted this one. She's like, yeah, yeah. She's my adopted daughter. We have one adopted daughter. She's like, yeah, but I'm her mother. And she's like, but you're not a real mom though, right? Like, this isn't yours. And that seems like a stupid comment. But when we talk about being subject to this, falling back into a spirit of fear and slavery, we're kind of illustrating that for ourselves, right? Because we would never say to God, or no one would ever say about us, like, oh, but God, they're not really your children. Like, they were terrible people, and you took them in, right? Well, yes, that's true, but I am their father. But you're not really their father, though, right? No, I am their father. But okay, I see what you're saying. No, and God says, I am their father. I have adopted them into my family. I call them sons. Everything that my son has, they have. They have his righteousness. They have his grace. They have his peace. They have his comfort. They have my spirit. They are my children. And so you see that when God calls us sons, when he calls us his children, that we are his. We are no longer what we once were. Right? We got to remind ourselves of that so we don't fall back into that. And as Christians, we like to fall back into this guilty Christian thing where we're like, oh, I'm a terrible Christian. No, you have been called a son of God. But I haven't read my Bible as much this week. I haven't shared the gospel with anyone. I've fallen back into sin. There is hope for you because you have been called a child of God. What happens, for those of you who are children, what happens when your children hurts themselves? Do they just, they freak out, right? They just cry and scream. But who do they run to? They run to their father or their mother. Why? Because they know that their father or mother will not turn them away. Orphans don't have that. They don't have it. All they have is themselves. So why is this important for us? We're already seeing it. Because the gospel models it for us. We have been adopted. This is not something that is called for special people out there. That's something you hear a lot. Like, oh man, it takes special people to do what you guys do. No, I am not special. Let me stop you right there. Last night, my one-year-old dropped a bulldozer toy truck on my head from the top of the stairs, and I freaked out. I am not special. Neither is my wife. Neither any of the other adoptive families in here. We are not special people. Y'all know me, I'm not. It does not take a Christian Navy SEAL. It takes someone who is faithful, who knows that they are weak, but are not trusting in themselves, but are depending upon God. God is their father. Why should we care for these kids? Because we know that when we take these kids in, like Rick was saying, we worry about our capacity, we worry about the money, we worry that there's going to be some family conflict with the other kids. There's all these things we could say and do, but ultimately, at the end of the day, there are thousands of children around the world who have no parents. There are 665 kids in the state of Kentucky today you could start paperwork on, get approved, and adopt. Today, start that. And not only that, but we have people that are doing that and adopting, fostering, and doing different things, but they need support as well. But I want to remind you that as believers in Christ, we were not adopted just individually, but the church is his adopted family. Y'all, let me tell you something. I could not make it without the church. Couldn't do it. I need you. Right? We need each other. And God gives us that. So we see we have been adopted. But he also tells us let me read verse 15 again. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That we are children of God. I want to remind you, though, and we've already kind of talked about this morning, that this love that God has shown us is an inconvenient love. And anytime you love a child, love one another, it is inconvenient. Why? Because we want to do what we want to do, and you could choose today to look away from foster children, orphans, but I would encourage you, do not hide your eyes. I think about when I pull up at an overpass and someone's standing there with a sign, wants some money. You know, what's the common response? Just like, you know, you're pretending like you're not looking, right? Because we don't know how to, like, deal with that. We just feel awkward. Or if we meet someone who's in a vulnerable position, someone who's homeless or someone who is very ill, who's laying sick in their bed and is about to die, we feel really awkward about that. We're just kind of like, I don't know what to say, you know? And we kind of use that as an excuse to be like, I'm not qualified for this. You know, there's people who do this sort of thing. There's people who are good with words. You know, no. This is part of the gospel. It's inconvenient. It's an inconvenient love. My heroes in orphan care are located about an hour that way. Their name, you guys know Molly and Wayne Cole. A lot of y'all do. They come around BBS time. They're actually what prompted Jesse to start thinking about this. They've been fostering, I think, for about 7 or 8 years, something like that. And so they started fostering children, and, you know, we began to see them and just be like, wow, man, those are soldiers right there, you know. And so but then they started talking to us and encouraging us to do the same thing. And, you know, one thing sticks out to me with them is that at one point they had one child. It was a baby at the time, and they were fostering him, and the parents just, you know, eventually just didn't want anything to do with the child. Comes out to find there's 3 other siblings in care in different homes. And they ranged, I don't know what the ages were at the time, but ages where they can remember things. And so they were just scattered, separated in different homes. And so the cabinet, the state cabinet at the time, asked them, hey, thank you for this place, taking this placement right here, but we got 3 siblings here. Can you take them? And, you know, when I heard that, my initial response for them was like, whew, 1 to 3 or 1 to 4? That's quite a bit at one time. Our first call was for 9 children. 9 children! But it's hard to place them. But Molly and Wayne were like, yes, we'll do it. And they had a small little apartment, and they slept on their couches for a short time while they moved their home. They moved to take in 3 more. These are normal people, normal believers. They are not Navy SEAL, you know, like ultra Christians, you know? That doesn't exist, by the way. They're not special either. They took in 3 more. And now they've adopted all 4 of them. All 4. A beautiful family. Things aren't perfect there either. But I think of them, and I remember seeing that, and I remember being like, they believe the gospel. This is real for them. It's an inconvenience. It's so inconvenient to them that they had to move their house. They had to find a new place to live in order to safely and legally fit more placements. And they've taken more since then. Only the gospel can create that. And now here's the thing too. You say, well, there are unbelievers who foster and adopt and who care for children. Yes, absolutely. But let me tell you this. Without the gospel as your foundation for doing any sort of orphan care, you're much more susceptible to any type of burnout. Because why? Because we're doing this because it's a matter of life or death. We're doing this because we have experienced it ourselves. Think about that. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been adopted. You were helpless in darkness and sin and slavery. There was nothing you can do. And a good, gracious Father pulled you out of that, set his love on you. And that even when you still sin against him, he loves you and changes you and makes you more like himself. It's inconvenient, but so was the Father's love for us. Verse 17. Let me start in verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Think about that. I haven't really been in on this earth. I haven't been an heir to too much. I think I've got some. I got some really soggy ground in Bradford County, Florida, that I inherited. It's like 2 acres. That was really exciting. But think about when we are adopted as sons, we are heirs with Christ. Think about all that we have because of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us all the things that we are heirs of. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us all the things that we are heirs of, that it's undefiled, it's unfading, it's imperishable, that nothing can take it away from us. Why? Because we have a Father who cares for us, who has made us his own. Who's made us his own. What father in here would allow anything to happen to your child? I just looked at Teddy over there. I was like, Matt, he'd do stuff to somebody if someone tried to take that child. And I know each of you would. Nothing can take us away from the love of the Father. That kind of love we need to display to those who are fatherless. God tells us all throughout Scripture that he's a father to the fatherless. He cares for those who have no parents. So should we. You notice the second part of this verse, that we are heirs of God and with Christ. But that when we say we are heirs of God, it doesn't mean, unlike what the TV preachers often say, hey, you're an heir of Christ, you're a child of God. You know, speak that Ferrari into existence, you know. Plant a seed and you'll get all this cash into your bank account. Right? No. Here it is. You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. We are heirs with Christ who suffered and died. Humiliation, physical pain, and the wrath of God for us. And Jesus tells us we will suffer. This life is not going to be easy. But he provides us with comfort. He provides us his Spirit, the same Spirit who has caused us to be adopted into his family. We are not alone. John chapter 14 tells his disciples when he's telling them, hey, I'm going to leave you. You know, he's predicting he's going to die on the cross and he's going to ascend to the Father. And he tells them, but I will not leave you as orphans. That he sends his Spirit. He sends himself to provide comfort and joy. And let me just tell you this. Orphan care will bring much suffering, much pain, and much heartache. I don't want to sugarcoat it for you. It's not going to be like, oh, man, welcome to my home. Let's watch Frozen and, you know, eat this big Thanksgiving dinner and everything's going to be okay. That's what we do typically. Put on Frozen for the little girls, right? But then reality strikes. Those kids, they don't know you. They've been fending for themselves. They're hiding food. They're throwing fits. Just like a natural, just like someone who's born biologically would, right? Because that's all they know, is that they're doing what they think is right, what they think is good. They're trying to protect themselves. They don't know you. But not only that, things can happen. You might get attached to a child, and that child goes away. There is much heartbreak in orphan care. And let me just tell you this. We as the church, if you can't take a child into your home, one way you can be involved is caring for families who are caring for orphans. There are many ways. And I'm saying that because I've experienced that. Okay? Like I told you, me and my wife haven't had any biological children. Our second placement was an infant baby. And we were just like, yeah, we'll take the baby. You know, we can hold him and stuff. Once we were on our way back from the hospital, we realized that we had no idea how to take care of a baby. We were just like, yeah, well, let's do it. And then we were just like, oh man, this is a life. He moved, you know, like, don't drop him. But man, when we got home, it was like a dump truck of just baby goods had been placed on our porch by people here and by people in Lexington and my church. There, a friend came and helped us, taught us how to take care of a baby. Like, literally, came to our house and was like, hey, you do this, do that. Helped us do that. We had no idea. Another person, when we were getting up in the middle of the night, we were just holding them and trying to feed them, you know. She donated her own rocking chair shoes for her children. And I was like, this is amazing. That's needed. There are so many ways in the church that we could step up and care for orphans. It's got to be part of our culture. Why? Because the gospel demands it. Because the gospel is true. If we have believed in Christ and we have been adopted into His family, orphan care is a must. You know, today, I don't know what the Orphan Care Alliance, what their whole presentation looks like or anything like that, but I hope that today you would consider that. But let me just say this. If you don't know the love of the Father, if you have not been adopted into His family, today can be the day that you're adopted into His family. He tells us to believe in Him. Believe that this Father loves you so much that He sacrificed His own beloved Son to die for you in your sin, in your darkness, in your self-reliance, in your rebellion of Him. He died for you. And He says, believe in Me. Follow Me. Turn from your life and put your trust in Me. And again, it's not an easy life, but it's a joyful life. It's a joyful life. Suffering is part of our life, and it's part of orphan care, but it is a joy, and it is worth it. You know, I think most of our daddies growing up would probably tell us, you know, anything that's hard, anything that's worth it is hard. You know, that's what my dad always told me. That's true. That's true in many things. And it's definitely true here. But we have the Father who cares for us, who loves us, unlike anyone in this whole world loves us. So if you are here today and you do not know Christ, I have no shame in begging you today to turn to Christ, because your life is nothing without Him. You are like an orphan who needs a father. You need Christ. You need a heavenly Father who loves you. Turn to Him. But I'm doing fine over here. I got my house, I got my car, I got my couple kids, and they act pretty good. No. All those things fall away and perish. Turn to Christ. He's eternal. And His love is eternal. And He will never, ever, ever forsake you. Even I, as a dad, and all the dads in here would say the same thing. You know, we like to say every time when our children mess up that we come to them and be like, son, I love you. You know, come into my arms, you know. But we're sinful fathers. We're not perfect. But the love of God is perfect. And though we sin and though we fall short, he welcomes us back. And that should raise an alarm for you to care for orphans, care for the fatherless who have no father. Let's pray.